The priests of the Lord offer incense and bread to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reverend Fathers, dear faithful, that comes to us from the offertory of the Mass, the Blessed Sacrament that we celebrate tonight to start off our 40 hours. And we also, with this day, it's not celebrated in the Mass because of the solemnity of the text of the Mass that we celebrate, but we do have a great feast day that is integral to the part of to the Mass itself. Two saints who are listed in every single Mass that is said in the Catholic Church. There's mention in the canon together, two twin brothers, Cosmas and Damian. Now, these two are two of my favorite saints in a way. I really enjoy their feast day, and I always joke with people that I want somebody to name their child Cosmas Damian someday, after all. But their life story is incredible and very important to see, especially in connection with what we begin today, 40 hours. So what most people, if they learned a little bit about them, know is what happened after they had already died. There is a great miracle that happens centuries after their death. There's a church built in their honor. And there's a man who has fallen sick. He has cancer of the leg, and it is eating away at the flesh of his leg. And there seems to be nothing they can do to stop it. And so as he's feverish and in bed with that cancerous leg, at nighttime, in the middle of his sleep, he's awoken, and there beside his bed is Saint Cosmas and Damian standing there watching over him. And being that they were physicians in life, they begin to prepare to try to heal him. And so they are looking at his leg and they say, there's nothing we can do to fix this flesh that is there, and so we have to do something to replace it. What should we do? Well, there was an Ethiopian who died today and was buried just outside the city. So let's go there and take from him. And they went to the grave, they took the leg off of the Ethiopian, and they amputated the leg off of the man who was in bed and attached the Ethiopian's leg to him. And then they finished everything up and were done, and then they disappeared. Well, the man woke up from the night and he found that his pain was completely gone, his fever was completely gone, and he was like new again. And he looked down, and there on his leg, from the knee downwards, was now a black leg, because it was that of an Ethiopian. And what had seemed like a dream had really happened. And the people, having seen this man now with this multicolored leg, they went to confirm the burial spot of the Ethiopian, and they dug up the corpse there, and they found that his leg was indeed missing. A great miracle worked after the death of Cosmas and Damian by several centuries. But what I really want to talk about is their lives leading up to their death, because they were physicians in life. And they did a great work for the church as physicians. They were Christians, and it was the time of the persecution in the 3rd century. And as they went about their business, they became well known for their ability to heal the sick. That when people came to them, when other doctors had looked at them and said, there's nothing I can do for you, Cosmas and Damian had a solution. They had a means to help the person recover their health. And they didn't just seek after healing the body, but rather seeing their own vocation as doctors as a true vocation from God, they also sought to heal the soul. And they would take people, Christian or pagan alike, and bring them in, and they'd work on them. And if the opportunity was right for them, they would start to teach them about the truths of the Catholic faith and the truths of the one true God. And they would educate them, and they would catechize them. And then when they had gone through it enough so they had a sufficient knowledge and they believed in those things which they had laid out to them, they would bring them to the priest and have them baptized, saving souls while they saved lives. And all the while, they never once would accept a payment for any of the work that they did. It was truly their vocation in life. It was truly an act of charity in their eyes, an act of love that they could give to their fellow man. to work on them. And so they, amongst themselves, they had made an agreement that neither one of them would ever accept any form of payment from a customer that came their way. Well, one day, there was this little old lady, and she was so thankful. And she stood before Damien, who had done the work upon her, and she wouldn't take no for an answer. She offered to pay him what little means that she could, and he said, "No, ma'am, I can't take anything. It's my pleasure to do that." And she said, "No, I must pay you. I have to give you something. Please take something. I don't have much, but I want to give you a little bit because I am so grateful for all that you have done." And finally, in the end, Damien, he relents. And this little woman, she reaches up to him, and she hands him her payment. And it's 3 eggs. That's all she can afford. 3 simple eggs. And he takes them, and he brings them back home. And he gets back, and he tells his brother what happened. Cosmos, "I tried, but she wouldn't take no for an answer. And I took the 3 eggs, and so here they are." Cosmos is mad. He can't believe that that had happened. "We made an agreement. We promised our Lord that we would not accept a dime for any of the work that we did. How could you? You went against our promise that we made together." And nothing Damien could say could quiet down the anger of his brother. And in the end, Cosmos storms out of the room, and he makes known to all of those who are around him who know him, "From this day forward, my brother and I are separated. From this day forward, I want nothing to be connected to him. I do not want to be connected to him even in death. When we die, do not put our bodies together." That's how mad he was. And he left. Well, that night he went to bed. And as he slept, he couldn't help but shake that thought, the anger that he held. He finally drifts off to sleep. But there in his sleep, our Lord appears to him. And he corrects him. He rebukes Cosmos. He tells him, "Your anger is unwarranted. Your anger is much too severe. Your brother tried to do a good thing, and you're punishing him for it, and you're cutting him off, someone who has been so close to you all your life long. You must make peace with him. You must unite yourself back to him. What you have done is unjust." Well, Cosmos, he's a humble man. He's a pious man. He wanted to do right by God. So he wakes up the next morning and he goes and sees his brother. And he does just that. He does ask for forgiveness from him. And of course obtains it. But he isn't able to allow others to know that they have reconciled. Because soon thereafter, they are arrested. It's come to the attention of the governor, Lysias, that they are indeed Christians, that they're going around, that they're subverting the faith of the emperor and undoing the belief in the gods and converting people to Christ. And so they are rounded up, brought before the governor, and asked to answer for their charges. Well, they stand there before them, now again newly reunited in their willingness to witness the faith before those who attack him. And they stand before him, boldly answer him truthfully to every question that they ask. "What are your names?" "We are Cosmos and Damien. We are twins." "What is your occupation?" "We are physicians." "What is your religion?" "We are Christians." And at that, the governor demands that they offer sacrifice to the false gods in the temple. "If you want to go home today, you will offer incense. You will offer sacrifice of animals. You will give sacrifice to these gods, and then we will let you free unharmed." But they flatly refuse. They tell the governor, "These gods that you have, they are vain. They are stone. They are made by men, and they are nothing but placeholders for demons." The governor is enraged by that. "Bind them, hang them, and torture them." And all the while, through various forms of torture, they sing praises to the one true God, making the governor even madder. And all the while, they look to him and almost mock him for his wickedness, They tell him, "Is this all that you can do to us? This is something that I find very enjoyable, to suffer for our Lord. Can't you torture me some more?" And with that, the governor thinks of a way to get rid of them finally. And so he says, "Bind them, their hands and their feet, and cast them into the sea." Throws them off the cliff into the ocean that they go. And as soon as they land, their chains fall away, and they are floated back to the shore. And they stand there before the governor once again, perfectly unharmed, just a little bit on the wet side. Well, the governor then says, "Well, if you can escape the sea, I will get rid of you in another way. Now I demand that you be crucified." And they are attached to the cross, and then he tells the crowd of people who have come to witness the persecution of these men. He says, "Take up stones, all of you, if you are friends of the emperor, and launch them at those men hanging upon the cross." And the crowd gathers up the rocks that they can find, and they reach back to hurl them at these two martyrs for the faith. And as they throw them, they go in through the air and turn right back around and strike the ones who had thrown them. And soon the crowd is befuddled by this, and they can't help but just trudge away from the sight, battered and bruised themselves, rather than the ones whom they had come to strike with the rocks. So then he says, "Archers, launch your arrows at him." But the same thing happens. The arrows fly out into the air, turn back completely around, and pierce the archers who had shot them. And in the end, the governor, having enough of this, decides, off with their heads. And they are decapitated, and they give up their lives for Christ together. Their bodies are gathered up by the people who had known them, the secret Christians from the town, and they're going to be given a proper burial. And as they take them outside the walls of the city, they remember the words that Cosmas had said when they had last seen them. "I do not want myself to be lain together, even in death, my brother." He said, "Well, that was the last wish that we heard. Let's make sure that we bury them in separate places." So as they're processing the bodies out and they're getting ready to dig two separate holes for these slain men of Christ, all of a sudden they hear a ruckus behind them. It's a camel. The camel's running down the pathway to them. He runs up to them, and they see this camel is weeping. It's crying, and it stops before them, and clear as day begins to speak. And the camel tells them, "No, you must bury these men together. You have profited from their example. But even we beasts, we have profited. We have been spared the sacrifice. We have been, honor has been given to the one true God who created us as well. And it's only right that these two men who died for the single same cause be buried together, so that they are together in eternity, both body and soul." Well, the people, they heard the camel, and they said, "He probably is speaking on behalf of God. Camels don't usually lie." So they bury them together, and of course, they are linked together forever in the Mass because of their sacrifice. We see in the end Christ, the true faith, bring these two brothers back together. Two brothers that had done everything together. They prayed together. They practiced medicine together. They taught catechism together. All things that they had done their whole lives long, completely united in Christ our Lord. But in one moment of passion, a rift was created. Hurt was done. Separation was caused. But who is there to heal that rift? None other than Christ. And how does he do it? He does it by means of sacrifice. The sacrifice of their lives. That's how he heals that separation cause. And we come at the start of the 40 hours now, and we see that it's the same for us. That's why we celebrate 40 hours in the end, is to give honor to that sacrifice, because there has been rifts over time. We are united by our faith to our Lord. We are united by sanctifying grace that is given to us by baptism to Christ himself. He dwells in us. Yet at moments in our lives, we create rifts. We create separation. Whether we sin and we, in a venial way, and we push our Lord just a little bit further than we would like him to be, or, God forbid, we sin mortally and sever the ties altogether. Either way, our own faults, our own sins, create that distance. And there's only one person who can heal that rift. And there's only one way that he can do it. It is our Lord. And it is by sacrifice. But it's not by our sacrifice necessarily, but more by his. Every good, worthy Holy Communion that we receive, every Mass that we attend, every act of adoration we give to Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, every honor we give to him under that Eucharistic veil, every time it draws us closer and strengthens that bond that we have with our Lord. There's never a wasted Mass. There's never a wasted communion. There's never a wasted moment that we spend before him here in our church. All the while, he just yearns to be closer and strengthen that bond between us. And that's why we have 40 hours. It reminds us why we make the little sacrifices. We drive the long distance, we fight the traffic, we come to the city, we stay up late, we come early, whatever it may be. Those little things, we unite them to the true sacrifice that happens upon the altar, each and every Mass that we have here. And we know that our souls are strengthened and drawn nearer to him. And that in the end, when we try to strengthen our souls and that bond between us and Christ more and more each and every time an opportunity that we have, we've brought them as close together as we can, then in those moments, then we realize nothing can separate us again, not even the sleep of death. And there we will lay side by side with our Creator. We will rest all eternity in peace with our Lord, whom we are bound together with for all eternity in heaven. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.